very much. Faith, hope, and love. The three. You know, we're getting ready to celebrate the Christmas season, the birth of Christ. And oftentimes we go right into the Gospels. I like Luke, and it tells the story of the birth of Christ. But this morning we're going to look at Galatians 4, chapter 4, and we've got it up on the screen. And this also tells of the birth of Christ, but it tells why the birth of Christ. You know, the story is fabulous, but to me, I'm always curious, how come? Why? And I had looked at, you know, the birth of Christ, and that Jesus was to be sent to be our Savior. And I thought, God, why would you send a baby? I mean, why not a king, a conqueror, one with tremendous authority? Why a baby? I mean, it doesn't sound like really the right way to go about it. But I'm going to read, Galatians 4. It says, but when the fullness of time came, God sent forth his son, born of a woman under the law, in order that he might redeem those who were under the law, that we might receive the adoption as sons. And because you are sons of God, God has sent forth the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, crying, Abba, Father. Therefore, you are no longer a slave, but a son. And if a son, then an heir through God. In that passage, we see that he says our redemption is there because we have become slaves. Okay, but we are also then an heir to all things through God. You know, back in, this whole story begins back in Genesis. In your bulletin, I've outlined a little bit of what goes on. This is a sequence of events down through history that gives us some insight as to why Jesus was born as a child, but born into this human race. In the beginning, this is Genesis 1:26, and it's the gift of God. There God says, let us make man in our own image, according to our likeness, and let him rule over the fish of the sea and over the birds of the sky and over the cattle and over all the earth and over every creeping thing that creeps upon the earth. You see, that rule is an authority that God gave to the first man, Adam. The gifts and the callings of God are without repentance or irrevocable, even by God himself. We had seen that with Moses when God says to Moses, step away from this people, this unruly, rebellious people, and I'm going to destroy them, but I'll raise up out of you a great nation. And Moses looked at God and says, Lord, you can't do that. He says, why not? I'm God. I can do anything I want. He goes, no, you can't go against your own word. You had promised. And you see, in the beginning, God gave And it's called, it's a neat little word called dominion. He gave dominion of all of the earth to mankind, to the first man, Adam. The problem came about in the garden. And we read the essence of what happened. Adam took of this tree, this forbidden fruit. And in taking of that fruit, he was not only disobeying God, but more importantly, he was obeying the temptation of Satan in the garden. And if you don't have to turn there, but Romans 6:16, and it simply says, do you not know that when you present yourself to someone as a slave for obedience, that you are a slave to the one to whom you obey? You see, when Adam took of that fruit, he became a slave to sin and to Satan. If you ask yourself a couple of simple questions, which I had done early on, about does a slave have ownership of anything? No. Whatever he possessed belongs to his slave master. And the first man, Adam, had received that gift of God, but now he forfeited it. And I used to think, well, God, out of that obedience to Satan, he became a slave. But if we read Romans 5:19, and as through the one man's disobedience, the many became sinners, literally slaves. I used to think, well, Lord, why would Adam's sin shackle me with that same bondage? I'm quite capable of sinning all by myself, thank you. I don't need help from somebody else. But you see, the son of a slave is not born into freedom. He's born into the same bondage his old man's in. So God had a problem, a dilemma. And this is God's dilemma. How do I get back not only the kingdoms, the rule, the dominion over the kingdoms of this world, but how do I retrieve the slaves? For all now have sinned and come short of the glory of God. Look around. We're all slaves. We have been redeemed. But we were all born into it. Couldn't help it. That was our nature. I'm a slave to sin. But with God's plan, and that plan we see in the familiar scripture of John 3:16. This is God's plan. And he says, what's
Judas.
No, we're not there yet.
That's my cue.
For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. His only begotten son. What we have, all the rest of us born into the human race, have been born under that same bondage to sin. But for the first time in history, since Adam, we have the only begotten son of the Father. He's born outside the lineage of slavery. This is really neat. It makes him, we see it oftentimes repeated through the New Testament. It declares that Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Well, we read that back in Galatians. Born of a woman. Born into the human race. That made him eligible for the original gifts, that dominion over all of this earth. But born outside that lineage of slavery, that meant he is able to receive back. He's not under the same bondage to sin as the rest of us. So here we have one who is born as a free man. Now, Satan became aware of this and nudged one of his slaves, Herod, and said, "Hey, Herod, there's a kid going to be born down the street here that's going to grow up and take your crown." Satan knew the pride that Herod had, and Herod tried to kill him. Wound up killing a bunch of young children. God set apart, made a way of escape for Jesus, for Joseph, and for Mary. Then we see out of another attempt at, not, this time not to kill Jesus, but an attempt to make him into a slave as well, just like the rest of us. And that's in Luke 4, verse 6. I'm going to back that up just a little bit. This is the temptation of Christ in the wilderness experience. If you recall, after Jesus had been baptized by John the Baptist, and it says that he was taken out into the wilderness and tempted of Satan. And here we find that Jesus was then taken up, and he led him, Satan led him up and showed him all the kingdoms of the world. Verse 5, in a moment of time, and when the devil said to him, "I will give you all of the domain and its glory, for it has been handed over to me, and I can give it to whomever I wish." This is what was lost in the garden by Adam's first sin. It's what Jesus Christ, the Son of God, was sent back here to get. And Jesus could have looked at Satan right there and said, "You mean all the kingdoms? Yeah. They've been handed over to you? Yep, they sure have. What do I have to do?" And he says, "Therefore, if you will worship before me, it'll all be yours." Jesus could have thought for a second, this is going to be a whole lot easier than what I thought. All I have to do is worship before you, Satan, and I can have all of these kingdoms. So if you were to look at that, if he would have bowed down and reached up and taken a hold of those kingdoms from Satan, he could have said, "Hey, Dad, I got them. I got them all back. I'm in the same bondage." There in, and I think I missed this one, excuse me, Romans 6, back there where it says that we become slaves. It says, maybe I did, "Do you not know or realize that you will become the slave to the one to whom you yield in obedience?" See, Jesus, had he simply done that act of obedience, would have become a slave just like the rest of us. But he stood his ground and answered him back, "No, no, do not tempt the Lord your God. You know, and it says that Satan left him for a time until a more opportune time. And that time came after the Last Supper. And we've learned that Judas betrayed Jesus Christ. But I discovered something in reading through that passage. And that's in John 13:27. And there it simply says, and after Judas had received the morsel, the piece of bread, that Satan entered into him. So we no longer have a slave betraying Christ. This is Satan himself had entered into Judas. What that meant is that that betrayal unto death made Satan guilty under God's law, guilty of murder, killed an innocent man. And under his sentence, we know that God was able to then go right back into when Jesus rose from the grave. It said that he had descended right into hell itself and took back the keys to the kingdoms of this world. That was the salvation. The moment in time when all of what had gone haywire in the garden got set straight. Now that Jesus Christ, Ephesians 4:8-10, and it says, therefore it says, when he ascended on high, he led captive a host of captives, and he gave gifts to men. Some of those gifts we were asking of the Lord here a few weeks ago to distribute amongst us. Those are spiritual gifts. Now this expression, he ascended, what does it mean except that he also had descended into the lower parts of the earth? When Jesus descended into hell itself to set the captives free, and he took back the keys of truth, the keys to the kingdoms of this world, that's what makes the ruling and reigning with Christ possible. We learn the keys of truth to have and reclaim that dominion over the earth. The So there in that last one, if Christ redeemed the captives, and redemption, Johnny had told me here before service, redemption is like having that little coupon that you go and redeem at the store, the grocery store. Well, in this case, Christ had gotten back those keys of redemption and is able to set each and every one of us free. Out of World War II, there was a story, situation that had been told. There was a colonel or a general, I'm not sure which title. His name was Wainwright. He was in the Philippine Islands. And he was the highest ranking military officer to ever be captured from the United States. And he was put into a POW camp in the mainland of China. And basically there rode out the whole war because he was captured and his men were taken prisoner. And right at the outset of the battles that wound up going on in the Pacific. And Wainwright was there in that POW camp. And finally, the war was over. The peace treaty was signed on the decks of the warship. But those in the POW camp didn't know that. Every day was just like the day before. And the commandant to that camp, he knew. He knew what had happened. But he was somewhat content with the status quo as well. And it took several days or several weeks. And then an Allied airplane landed on the roadway out in front of that POW camp. And the captain got out and he came up to the gate, to the the fence line around that POW camp, and recognized just the tattered remains of a general's uniform, and he saluted. He said, "Sir, the war is over. And we have won." And it said that Wainwright saluted back, thanked him, and turned around and walked to the commandant's office. Now, he didn't ask him for a weapon, a gun, or anything else, but he was really armed because he had truth. And he walked into the commandant's office and he said, "Sir, my commander-in-chief has defeated your commander-in-chief. Therefore, you are my prisoner." What a piece of truth. They literally traded places. And Wainwright walked over and he took the keys off the wall. And he went down through that POW camp and he set everybody free that had been bound. You see, sometimes we don't recognize that our commander-in-chief, Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God, has defeated Satan. We have been set free. We are free indeed. Just the knowledge of truth. Is he still jerking you around like a yo-yo string? The battle's been won on the cross. It's over. Lay hold of the truth of who you are in Christ. You are free. You have been adopted in to the family of God. You're no longer a slave. Our commander-in-chief has defeated our enemy, Satan. And we are free indeed. The whole of this is to let you know and have that weapon of truth in your arsenal. When the enemy comes against you and says, "Come this way," do you not remember, understand, that you will become a slave to the one to whom you yield in obedience? See, Galatians 5:1 declares, "It was for freedom that Christ has set us free. Therefore, do not return again to a yoke of slavery." So I'm here this morning to declare our commander-in-chief has defeated our enemy. And we are free in Christ. Don't go back to what once was. Stand in your freedom. Thank you very much. Amen. If anyone would like to have prayer this morning, if you're doing battle and would like to have someone to agree with you for that freedom that Christ has paid for, please feel free. Come on up here. We would love to pray for you. My wife will join me. And Evelyn, Jonathan, if you're available, would you come up?
All right, thank you, Dick. Let's all stand together. And if we can please have our worship team. help us out. Can we bow our heads right now?
I really love Dick's approach to teaching God's word, and you can just see his heart and his compassion for Jesus and for people in his soft-spoken manner that he presents. I want to tell you the word that he gave this morning. It just has so much truth in it that God wants to impart to each of us this morning. Because the truth is, as long as we're alive, Satan's going to be attacking us. He's going to be attacking our minds. He's going to be trying to tempt us to sin. And sometimes we can be in those bonds of slavery. It feels like we're in a yoke of slavery for all of our Christian life until we really take the truth that God has come to free us from these bonds of slavery through the birth and life and death and resurrection of his son Jesus. So this morning as we close, I just want to challenge you. Is there an area in your life this morning that has been a struggle for you? It might be in negative thinking. It might be in a direct sin. It might be in living without faith and putting your hope and trust in God. There's so many areas that Satan will try to attack us. This morning, let's claim this truth. Let's take hold of this truth that Jesus has come to set us free, and we can walk in that freedom. And not, you know, live to the deeds of the flesh, but rather, as Galatians 5 says, when the Holy Spirit controls your life, you'll have the fruit of love and joy and peace and kindness and patience and faithfulness and all those fruit of the Spirit. So this morning, let's just look to the Lord and say, Lord, today I'm declaring my freedom. You know, I know, Lord, that you've come to set me free, and I'm free indeed. I'm free at last. Can we do that? Lord Jesus, we thank you so much, Lord, for the work that you did on the cross for each one of us, Lord. We know, Lord, Christmas is such a wonderful story of your birth, but it's more than just your being born into this world. It's your death and your resurrection, Lord, and the victory on the cross and through your rising from the dead, Lord. We know that we can, what it did, Lord, for us, it paved a way for us to walk and live in the freedom, Lord, that you have for each one of us. So this morning, Lord, I just pray, Lord, that we would just take a hold of this truth, Lord. And for those that are wrestling with known sins, Lord, and it's just a burden to them, and they're just shackled in guilt and whatever it is, Lord, I just pray this morning they would look to you and the one that's breaking those chains right now, Lord Jesus. We thank you so much for this work that you're doing, Lord. Thank you so much for the truth that sets us free. We love you, Jesus. And as we just, Lord, as we end this time, Lord, together, I just pray that if anyone needs prayer this morning, they wouldn't be apprehensive or shy about coming forward, Lord, but they would just come and have these brothers and sisters in Christ, Lord, pray for them and care for them. We love you, Lord Jesus, and we commit everything to you in your precious name. Amen. Let's end by singing this song together. It is well with my soul. It is well. Dismiss right now, but please feel free to come forward for whatever need you may have. Next week is going to be a special Sunday. We've got the kids singing several songs and a neat presentation from our children's ministries, and also a Christmas message I'll be presenting. So please come next week. Bring your family, your friends. It's going to be a great time together. You're dismissed. Hope you have a wonderful day. God bless you all.